Camp is a community. It's made up of camps, directors, campers, staffs, families. It's also made up of vendors, businesses, and other organizations that support our operation and, by and large, kind of work behind the scenes as far as our customers are concerned. But we couldn't do what we do without them. You couldn't do what you do without them. And we are super excited to have Chalmers Camp Insurance and Camp Brain join us this year as supporting partners of ACA New England. So we caught up with them mid-conference season to see how things are going, hear their camp stories, hear their company stories, and ultimately talk about what's coming down the pike in 2023. So thanks for joining the New England Camp Podcast.
Talking about the cloud is a funny thing. You're in software. How do you explain, I say software like you're supposed to then all of a sudden be my resident IT guy, but how do you explain the cloud to people? I always say it's probably just a warehouse with some like computer looking boxes that stores a bunch of information. Is that the cloud?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, basically it is like you're on a server and you're being hosted somewhere and you're making calls to that server wherever it is it's being stored. And,
so to dumb it down, it's like my little computer screen here, if I'm working in the cloud, then instead of my computer tower right here, it's just reaching for another tower that's somewhere
beams. We got a million beams going through us right now in terms of Wi-Fi connections, shooting to different towers, different softwares.
And all right, so real quick, everybody knows that we're talking, and I've already done the intro. If you've made it this far, thank you for tuning in to episode 6 of the New England Camp Podcast. Like we said at the outset, we're joined this week by our supporting partners to kind of learn a little bit more about them, hear their camp story, and hopefully, share some of their information. So who are we talking to today? If you walk into a coffee shop and you reach your hand out or however you greet people, how do you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, bud. My name is Josh Bradshaw. I'm with Camp Brain, and yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you and be a part of ACA New England. We're proud sponsors of this this group, and looking forward to continuing down. I'm not sure if that's exactly what you're looking for. If you just wanted something a bit more Camp Brain focused or me focused in terms of my background, but.
That's all we wanted. Is awesome. I put you on the spot. Truth gun to your head. Introduce yourself. All right. So let's go to the next truth gun to your head. What's your camp story? Did you go to camp as a kid? Did you work at camps? What is Josh Bradshaw's camp story?
Yeah, absolutely. So my camp story, being in, the AC New England podcast, I actually grew up in Bridgeton, Maine. And so at that time, went to all the schools, like Region High School, like Region Middle School, at the time, Bridgeton Elementary School. And I started going to camp through the Outdoor Education Center. So went to, Winona was where my school had gone. And so that's kind of where I really first, growing up in Maine, you're in the outdoors, but, the thought of camp really kind of blossomed for me there. And started attending different types of camps, sports camps, day camps, overnight camps. And then I started working at camp. I worked at a camp here in Canada, and just north, 2 hours north of Toronto, private co-ed overnight camp, and worked there for 10 years. And then I met my wife at camp, and true kind of camp story, got married at camp as well back in 2008. So dated myself here a bit. And then at that point in time, wanted to stay involved in camping. And at that point in time, Camp Brain was around. And so kind of opened up the next door in my journey in camping and being involved in camp in a different way.
So why software? My original question was going to be, why software in the camp industry? But obviously we know why the camp industry. It's in your DNA, it's in your background, it's in your blood. So what got you into software first? And then I'd like to hear a little bit more about how Camp Brain came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, there was no software background. So no coding, no development. I was a camp person through and through. And at that point in time, our CEO, Rob, he is a firm believer in being able to train people to do things in that sense of being able to, I can teach you computer, I can teach you coding, I can teach you how to write a report. What I can't teach you is how to be a good person. And camp, that's camp through and through, being a better person, being, bringing your whole self to something. We hire a lot of people from the camp world because they are great people and they know how to support people on the phones, they know how to be there for people, they've they spent their life doing it. And that's who we are at Camp Rain. We love supporting our clients. And so now, I've been with Camp Rain now for 15 years. And so I started off in that support role. Knew nothing about the software. I used the software at the camp that I worked at. So I knew a lot about the software already. But the technical side of it, didn't really know that much about. That was, I learned that on the job. But I was able to talk to people and build those relationships and solve problems and be human on the phone. And that goes a long way.
I didn't know that about your background. That's super enlightening. We actually have a blog post on our website that talks about how Forbes continually pumps out these every year. What are the skills that employers are looking for? And I went through the last 3 or 4 years of them, and I noticed that 8 out of 10 skills are consistently soft skills developed at camp. So like you said, looking for the good people, and if you're sourcing it from the camp community through trusted partners and, camps, it's almost like when you hire Division I athletes, if you played Division I sports, there's almost that you have a little bit of bona fides that are with you, that I have discipline, I have organization, I have follow through, I know how to be part of a team. And those are the same kind of things that you develop working at a camp, are those soft skills, like you said, good camp people. So Dal, let's back it up 3 steps. We've referenced it a couple of times, but a little bit of background on what is Camp Brain, which I just love that. Now that we're talking about how, why you ended up there, because you have a Camp Brain, ha ha ha. But what is Camp Brain and how did it come to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with the second part of that.
Sure.
We'll start with the start aspect of it. So Camp Brain started in 1994. The founder of the company, Shane Miskin, and then still co-owner of the company, he started it here in Canada with 10 camps that needed software to manage their camps. I actually just had this conversation with someone at the last conference that I was at about the early 90s of having these boxes of file folders that I've got A's over here, I've got B's over here, and C's. I'm kind of going through those paper forms to find camper files and what that looked like. So then you get into 1994, and now you've got a software that you're putting that data into. And so that's where Campaign kind of came from, and being able to easily report on that data. So it was a desktop software at the time. And then at that point in time, Shane had started the company, was coding it all out, supporting our clients. Then our other co-owner and CEO now, Rob Carmichael, came on in the late 90s, and he really started to grow the company and really started to kind of look for what it was going to look like. And then we futuristically came out with started doing online registration as that became a thing, and allowing parents to register online for camp and no longer having to fill out paper forms and do that and be able to, give that easy access. And so Camp Brain at its core was originally developed, obviously, to make the life easier for administrators and for them to really kind of love their job. And that's what we really want out of our software. Is we don't want you to think, oh yeah, this software is going to do it all for me. What our tagline is, love your software. And so you've got a job to do. We're giving you the tool that's going to help you in that job, and you should be loving the software that you're using, that tool that you're using to manage it. So it's a lot of times camps will look at registration and just say, yeah, I just need camp registration, but it's more than that. It's the software that you're using. It's the tool that you're using to run and manage your business throughout the year.
So I want to say that's beautiful, because I do remember I was younger in those early 90s, mid 90s. I was a little bit younger, but I was a computer dork, for lack of a better phrase. And so I know what you're talking about when it became just the thing. All right, we got data and we can put it into this machine. Okay, now what do we do with it? Well, that's where we're going to help you provide those. So outside of just the online registration, what are some of the other big kind of developments in the past? Like you mentioned online registration. Even in the last 5 years, there's still camps that are going, all right, we're finally going to go online, because it just worked for them, maybe size, scale, culture, whatnot. But outside of online registration, and then I'd love to hear about maybe anything newer coming down the pipeline, but what are some of those other kind of like late 90s, early 2000s developments or flag posts in the development of Camp Brain, online registration, and then what other kind of functionalities throughout the history? I'm just curious. This is for me mostly.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so software is always evolving, and needs of camp are always evolving. So there's things, tools like that, we call it our cabinizer. It's our flagship name. So being able to group kids into different bunks or into different cabins, or in a day camp world, be able to group them into different groups that they're going to be in based off of their buddy requests, their friends' requests that are going to be happening. Medical modules, being able to have a place for your nurses and doctors to manage all the health forms that come in, all the medications and the allergies that you have to provide to kitchen staffs. A lot of camps not only run in the summer, but they have what we call their called shoulder seasons. And so we have our conference center module to manage that. So not only focusing just on summer camp, but the ability to manage things throughout the year and those shoulder seasons for outdoor education groups that come up to camp or corporate retreats that are renting out your facilities. Then you need things, you know, in different camp worlds, because camps, as we know, come in many different shapes and sizes and the different categories of camps. You got faith-based camps, you've got private overnight, private day, school-based camps. And so then in that world, you have things like fundraising modules, camp store modules, the ability to manage the summer needs. And so, you know, back to our point, it's more than registration that you need. You're not just solving one problem with, I've offered my parents registration and made it easier for them. I'm going to also make it easier for myself with all these other tools, and also easier for those staff that I'm hiring this summer to run my store, or my nurses and doctors that I'm bringing on to be in our health center as well.
Registration, program development, you know, like you said, the cabinizer, like, you know, facility development and growth. It really has the camp, people throw camp around as a term a lot. And I kind of say, and I've said it before on the podcast, there's a reason for that. When sports teams are in a crisis moment or it's preseason, where do you take them? Training camp, because you want to get those people into an environment where they can develop, grow, take risks. Politicians, presidents, when something hairy is going on, let's out to Camp David. Why? Because that's where people can be out and, you know, kind of away from it all and really grow and develop. And so when you talk about having that camp experience as the foundational element here, but then taking it and saying, we can move a little quicker, we have tools at our disposal, and we can really grow the entire program. And like you said, it's not necessarily the end all be all for everything at once, but whatever you as the camp director or you as the camp personnel, whatever you're interacting with, your goal is to have you love that aspect of the camp brain. So what is the newish type stuff that you all are either developing, rolling out, trending, tinkering with?
Yeah, so always in like the software world, there's a point in time where you need to stop and pause and look at your structure, look at your infrastructure. Just coming back to the camp world, right? It's sometimes the things that you have to do that, you know, it's not building a new climbing wall, or you're not, you know, adding a new goggle ball kit or something like that. But you have to do roofing, you have to do plumbing, you have to do those things that are going to keep you going and keeping your camp operating for the next 25 years. So we just came out of this time period of, you know, looking at our plumbing, looking at our infrastructure of the software. So what's next for us will be things that, you know, are ever changing in this world of, you know, being online is security. So being able, we're about to come out with some new MFA stuff for our software. It's a must need for camps for insurance. So being able to be insured with having an online database, you know, being able to have that multi-factor authentication. Then we're going to be making some changes and some updates to our camp store module prior to summer camp 2023. Then we're going to be adding some new features to our fundraising module. So we're always making different edits and changes to the software and having to always evolve. And, you know, we listen to clients' feedback through our wish list at campbrain.com, and our product team gets that and they chat with our clients and see how we can always be improving and moving the software forward for them.
And if you missed it earlier this year, great blog piece that Camp Brain put out for us about how you all, I would say, it's a perfect time to mention it, responded and kind of went back to the customers to say, we hear you on gender identification throughout the registration process. And here's some ideas, changes, updates. And like you said, you'll probably go through a season or two of that and then make another tweak and continue to kind of tweak it. But always pushing forward with whatever the customers are needing, whatever. And like you said, not all camps are the same. So you have to be flexible, but you also want to give that kind of personalized touch, because every camp is their own center of their own universe. And so that's where you and I both know the positions that ACA New England and partners like Camp Brain are in. How do we provide that one-to-one feel, but also have the flexibility to recognize that it's a big world out there. The camp industry and the camp universe is big, and it's welcoming and it's growing. Exactly. So this time of year, outside of the technology in general, what are some usual things you're talking about with clients and customers? Or I guess that's the professional camps. What are the things that are going on with camp and you this time of year?
Yeah, so for us right now, we're really kind of getting into that that next level of support. So a lot of times registrations are opening for some camps. So January 1st, February 1st, very high volume of open registration days. We have a lot of camps that will open registration in the fall as well. But after that becomes things like communication leading up to camp. What does that look like for you? Invoices that might need to still be paid, follow-up forms. So you've got your registration done, but now come things like medical forms, getting those documents in, traveling, making sure that you know all the overnight camps have flight information that's coming in, being able to get those reports out, organizing of all that data to be ready for the summer. Staff hiring, making sure that your staff hiring, you're in that period now where you're doing your hiring, but then there's the follow-up after the hire, making sure that you've got the updated calls, the references being checked, doing all that, background checks, managing all of that. So kind of going through those processes as all of a sudden, as we all know in this camp world, these next 4 months just go. Like, it's just like, where that happens. You think you have all the time in the world, but you never do, right? It sneaks up on us pretty quickly. So it's just all that preparation that goes into it. And that's where, Camp Brain allows all that data to come into the system. And then you're able easily to, in seconds, minutes, run reports to get all that data out at the click of a button.
It's the most exciting part of this whole update where, getting your ducks in a row, getting new tools, getting new resources, then pressing play and watching how does it. And what's funny is in your line of work, especially, no news is good news, right? If things are flowing, yay. But sometimes when you get the incoming, then it's all right, it's showtime. We got to make these quick pivots because, I got five parents over here and we know this. So, because nothing runs 100% of the time. I think every software company out there will never say we have 100% uptime because we also know that's not a reality. There's a variable out there somewhere that you haven't thought of. It's going to come in at some point. And the more that happens, the better you get at responding to those variables and moving forward. So if folks do want to love their software more, or how would they get in touch with you? Where would they find Camp Brain? And are you all going to be at any of the conferences coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, definitely check us out at campbrain.com. You can also check us out on any of our social feeds on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and LinkedIn as well, if you want to find us there and connect with us there. We'll definitely be at conferences. Camp Brain typically attends about 30 to 35 camp conferences a year within the season. We will be heading down to, we'll be at AC New England for sure. I will be there. So I'd love to meet all of you if you're going to be heading down that way. We'll be at Tri-State, we'll be at ACA National in a couple weeks as well. We'd love to meet with you and chat with you and be there. So stop on by our booths and connect with us.
Josh, I can't thank you enough. Tell Lee and everybody else at the Camp Brain team, we sincerely appreciate your support and working with us, and we look forward to working with you for years to come.
Great. Thanks so much, bud.
We do the community cast, a podcast by Chalmers.
And, right. And Carissa does that, right? Or she helps with that?
Yeah, Carissa, she oversees it. And then, between myself and my two business partners, Dottie and Steve, and some of our employee, our colleagues, I can't remember how many episodes we've got, but it's, 30, 40, I'm probably way off. Should probably.
No, it's up there in the dozens of dozens, yeah. Judging by the notes I get from Carissa, but start over right there. What was the podcast you were talking about, and who are those characters you just referenced, including yourself?
So we've done 88 episodes.
88?
So it's the community cast, a podcast by Chalmers. And really the point of it is, so it's between myself, my two business partners, Dottie Chalmers Cutter and Steve Cody, with Carissa Chipman, and then some of our colleagues at my organization. And it's really a conversation, right? I mean, just like what we're going to have today, the point of it is not – so much. It's not a sales piece. It's, hey, tell us about you, who you are, your business, how you got into it, but then also more so, how do you give back to the community? I mean, your community can be your organization, your community can be your town, your community can be the state, or the business. So, whatever your community is that you define it as. So they're great conversations. Yeah, and they're typically, 25 minutes to 45 minutes. But, we've had Dwan Eubanks, right, president of the Maine Celtics on. And, most recently, Becky McKinnell, who is an amazing person. She was actually I met her when she graduated from University of Southern Maine. We were on I'll call it a young professionals network development.
I like that you threw the air quotes up there.
Air quotes. And, you know, I don't know when I kind of not became, tenured out, I guess, or aged out of that at some point, but it was part of the Portland Regional Chamber. And we met through that. And she has a company called IBAC, and it's pretty amazing what she's done. She's been on the other Fortune 500 as up and coming entrepreneurs. And it's, IT marketing firm, web development firm. Yeah.
So one more time, what's the name of the podcast?
So ours is The Community Cast, a podcast by Chalmers.
And so when you're done with this, go check out The Community Cast, a podcast by Chalmers. And we are talking to Jim Chalmers today. Thank you so much, Jim, former board member. The Chalmers name has been in the camp community for generations, literally. And that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. But you, what is your camp story? Did you grow up going to camp? Did you ever work at camps? How has camp and Jim Chalmers been associated before you and I crossed paths the last few years?
Yeah, certainly, Bud. And I was thinking about that, and so I would say that camps were, I don't want to say non-traditional, but the sense of, I went to a week-long football camp for several summers, right, at Dartmouth College, and went to hoop camp in Casco, Maine, which I think almost every single boy and girl who plays basketball in the state of Maine goes to that camp at some point in their junior high school career. And then Encore Coda music camp in Sweden, Maine. Used to be, very involved in the music industry in the sense of, playing in high school, college, the saxophone. And then also Camp Hines, which is a Boy Scout camp. So grew up as a Boy Scout, went to Camp Hines, which is in Raymond, Maine. And that's kind of their flagship campus for the camps that they have in the state. So, yeah. And now, I have two kids and both of them go to summer camp.
That's phenomenal. So obviously camp's been in your blood, in your history. And I married a Mainer. I'm what I call born again New England. I'm from Florida. Yeah. I grew up down in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. My parents are from Michigan. So there's this whole swath of the Northeast that I didn't really know about. And I went to work one summer at a camp in Maine. That was, 23 years ago. And now I'm doing this because there is something kind of poetic about camp in New England. And once you experience it for the first time, it sticks with you. I mean, as we talk about now, you don't run a summer camp, but you are very, very much integral to the camp community, camp experience, and specifically up here in the New England region. So what is the Chalmers Camp Insurance story?
Yeah, well, I consider myself very fortunate to be part of the camp community, if you will. Now, right now, running, owning, and operating a camp, but to be an integral part of all these camps that we work with from a risk management and insurance standpoint, right? And so I would say, I'll call it a humbling story in the sense that I'm fourth generation in a family-owned business, right? So the agency's been around since 1857. My great-grandfather—
Just hold on real quick. Sorry, I'm so sorry. You said 1857?
1857, yes.
Okay, continue.
So we've been around. The agency itself has been around. It's been in the Chalmers family since 1928. So my great-grandfather bought into an existing agency on Main Street, Bridgeton, Maine, in 1928. And since then, it's descended to my grandfather, my father and uncle, and now myself and one of my cousins, Dottie Chalmers Cutter, and then Steve Cody, another partner, bought the agency in January of 2018. But and digressing in the sense of our involvement in camps goes back, say, over 100 years, almost the inception, I would say, of the camps, being in Bridgeton, heart of the Lakes region in Maine. There's several camps out there that the founders, right, had tentacles and reached a lot of different people, a lot of different organizations, started a lot of different camps. And that's how my predecessors, generations above me, before me, got into working with and in protecting and insuring camps. And so it's been a program that's morphed over time to help and support these camps in their need, right? Protect their physical assets, right? The properties and everything that they own, and also from a liability standpoint as well.
You know, it's funny, we're sitting here and I'm at the Tri-State Camp Conference in preparation for our New England Camp Conference coming up. And there's two conversations going on here. There's multiple, but a lot that I pay attention to are there's kind of the business side of camp, the nuts and bolts, the operations. And then there is a lot more, I would say the talent side, forward facing, counselors, program, that kind of stuff. And hearing words that you use, assets, liabilities, you know, those are those terms that have to be introduced to camp professionals, because at the end of the day, this is a business that we do. We are, you know, there are families that are giving you money so that you can provide a service. And as part of that, like any other industry, risk management, risk assessment is a massive part of it. So how do you help camps when you're not dealing, I'm not going to pigeonhole camp directors and owners or anything like that, but by the nature of saying I am a camp director, odds are you don't have a massive background in risk management. You kind of learn as you go along. So how do you help camps kind of bridge that gap of knowledge between needing to be an insurance expert versus, you know, let us just help you understand what you need to know?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Bud. And I'll say it spans the gambit, right? In the sense of who is and what is that organization, right? So really small camp, small nonprofit, might not have as many resources. And when I say resources, meaning people, talent, time to dive in really deep on, say, just their insurance program, let alone understanding, operating, and running a business on top of, right, the service you said, and having these kids providing an absolutely exceptional, wonderful experience during the summer and or those that have programming throughout the rest of the year, to organizations that have a pretty deep bench, if you will.
Sure.
You know, some very large camp organizations and or right nonprofits that have a whole risk management team, have a CFO, you know, director of finance, if you will, that have maybe more experience, not saying for better or worse, but just might have that more time and opportunity to dive into it. So sure. It really depends on the situation, who we're talking to. And then also our question to the camps is, you know, what do you want to know? What are your questions? What are your concerns, right? It's not me sitting here kind of poking them in the chest saying, this is what you have to know. It's more, you know, understanding the overarching themes. What is your risk management program? What are you paying for? Where and how are we protecting you? But it's also on the flip side, right? Yeah, insurance can be reactionary in the sense of you call us when your building burns down, you know, someone is injured, an auto accident. What we try and do is flip the script and try and be proactive, right? We'll have what we call engagement calls, right? Intentional check-ins, reaching out to the camps to say, hey, you know, what are your concerns, top of mind, issues that you're seeing, trends on your end? We can marry that into the sense of what we're seeing from a macro sense. All the other camps we work with, hey, is what you're seeing and telling us match up what we're seeing and hearing and be able to provide best practices. Hey, well, we know this is working. Have you thought about implementing a certain piece in that sense, right? So it's an ongoing education that we have, you know, and also webinars, you know, presenting at ACA conferences, you know, webinars and then one-on-one conversations. We try
contributing
and
to blog posts, podcasts,
trying to help in so many ways and meet camps at their level and their level in the sense of meeting face-to-face, meeting on Zoom, phone calls at trade shows. So it's numerous ways of getting in front of folks and helping educate them.
And so you were just about to get into those something real quick about what's coming kind of down the line or forward thinking in 23. Unpack. Hate's not the word we use. I try to avoid unpack as a cliche phrase, but talk about what's new in 2023 or kind of what's forward thinking there.
Yeah. And I'll keep it high level, but in the sense of, you know, we talk about, you know, the preseason training, the importance of having an engaged staff. Right. So unfortunately, we do see some challenges. I'll call it as some camp owners, directors call it the midsummer slump or whatnot. Right. So keeping the energy, keeping everyone actively engaged, as we say, keeping the staff actively engaged. And that's a huge part of what we talk about, because what happens sometimes we see those unintentional consequences of injuries when certainly as the camp season goes along and we might get. I don't say tired, but things happen, right? And accidents happen, right? And really our big three things and our pillars, right? Water, so waterfront, height, right? So zip lines, climbing walls, and then also the road, transportation, right? Those are kind of the three pieces on top of, you know, we don't want to talk about the you know, again, peer-to-peer as well, but those are kind of the pillars that we really talk about and see and try and help and support our camps.
Say that one more time. Water, height, and
road transportation.
Road transportation.
Three, and then right there's the peer-to-peer piece as well. Abuse, you know, the bullying piece, right? That can flow to more if we find that if we don't get ahead of it and in front of it, what becomes the kids just kind of picking on one or two other kids can morph pretty quickly into more severe situations.
And we've had an awareness on that, specifically that peer-to-peer stuff, for a while now, where we should be at the element of what have we learned? What are we implementing? And like you said, what should we just at least be looking out for? Because we know so much now about what these environments can do, both positively and negatively. You get a bunch of young people. Lord of the Flies is a cautionary tale for a reason, folks. I mean, I'm not saying it goes to that extreme, but the idea still is there. Camp is a place for risk-taking.
Camps are so good. And I know that's too generally speaking, right? But for what camps do, the impact, the power, the development for kids, the development for counselors in the community as a whole is so wonderful. Of course, being in the industry that I'm in, we see everything, and we get those phone calls. And so what we really talk about is really engaging your staff and getting in front of it, right? Having that open conversation, creating that culture of support and help, and then also, you know, the proverbial see something, say something, and then just get in front of it. And that's where, when we look back, right, when there is an incident, and so we start to, what did you say? Not unpack it, but what's your phrase that you used, right?
Unpack is what I'm trying to avoid. Now I can't avoid it. So as you unpack and investigate.
Well, you got it in my head. But investigate and go through it. How did it happen? Why did it happen? What could we have done better? And then those are stories that we share, right? We've had several webinars recently about that, and just the real life stories, obviously not say who it was, what it was, and the camp per se, but this is what happened, because it's great to share. I mean, the camp community is so wonderful about helping and supporting one another, so we can learn from situations that happen to hopefully prevent them going forward.
No, we're in the human business. At the end of the day, it's youth development, and we're working with human beings. So I'm glad that that's another one of those reminders to be always checking on. We have to be proactive. You have to be aware. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean, because some people might say, I don't need to look at that. My camp's fine. Then do a check. You know, you check your oil every 3 months, even if there's enough in there, because you just want to always have that follow up. So no, I think that's going to be something that obviously keep on the forefront for 2023. And that's not in that wonky world. That's in that. Listen, this is the operational side. These are the areas that you should be perusing and just keeping your finger on that pulse. And if you have anything comes up, I think I said it on Monday, no question too big, no detail too small, give Chalmers a call and they'll talk you through it, if nothing else.
That's great, bud. Hey, appreciate your time and all that ACA New England does, and looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.